Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, good evening, good evening. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network coming to you live and in color. We've got an interesting show tonight. We're going to talk about child abuse, abuse, the NFL, and some other topics of discussion around the news that people want to talk about. But we really want to focus. The NFL is catching it. They call it the worst week in the NFL. Football athletes been pampered and have operated above the law, or at least certainly been privileged. So let's talk about it. We're going to talk about that tonight and talk about some of the other things that are going on as well. This is an International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and my name is Glenn Grange. I'm coming to you live from New York City. Let's start off with the Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing natural relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7, 1991. Atlanta, Georgia, September 14, 2014. North, south, east, west, above, below, and within. A moment of silence, please. Thank you. All righty. So we really want to hear from you tonight. Hear about what your thoughts are, and what do you think about what's going on? You know, what's the state of we really want to hear what you got to say. All right, let's have that conversation now, and go from there. You know, find out what you know. I've got some interesting views myself, I must say, I will. Share those as we look at the things and what's happening. But I have my own opinion about the leniency on football players, and you know, have they been given a free ride? And is this typical or consistent with what they've been allowed to do, and or is this something that I don't know. I'm just got mixed mixed feelings about it, and I just want to bring in my co-host to really begin to express some of the things from a female side, but I certainly want to hear from others out there in the world. Henrietta, welcome to the call.
Thanks, Glenn. How are you this evening?
I'm good. I'm actually very good, and I am. what I want to say is that I'm not so much in a quandary, but I know that the NFL has taken a lot of heat this week on the Ray. I can't even think of his name right now. Ray Wright. Oh my goodness. Anyway, we're talking about
Adrian.
Huh?
I was wondering who you were talking about.
The gentleman Ray Rice.
Mm-hmm.
Ray Rice incident which people knew about, had a sense of, and of course when the TMZ picture of the elevator interaction actually showed him hitting his wife twice, people were very upset by that, and there was a lot of reaction to that. There's also another gentleman in San Francisco who has been accused but has not been found guilty. Ray Rice was, as far as I understand, there has been no court anything around that, but he did admit to doing that and received initially a 2-game suspension, and then when this video hit, of course, people were outraged that he was only let go for two games. There's another guy, I think it's Richard Haley, and he is from he's another player that was convicted and got released, or inactive, I should say. Let me be accurate. Is inactive. And he was convicted of hitting his girlfriend. And so we've got that. And then, of course, then this thing showed up with Adrian Peterson. And what he did is he hit his 4-year-old child with a switch, which there were marks left on him. And he was... I believe arraigned by a Texas court and showed up, I guess, last night, last night, to accept his charges. So, in light of all of that, you know, there's a lot of conversation around football and the NFL specifically around the abuse of women. And then, of course, in the light of the child abuse, it's a little disturbing. But I'm wondering is that a reaction to or not? And the other thing is, as a parent, and I have to qualify that as a parent in this day and age, as opposed to our parents, because putting a switch to someone was not unheard of. And was done quite regularly. Now, question is that abuse? Was it abuse in our time frame when we were kids coming up? And it certainly wasn't considered abuse. But in this day and age, when you leave marks on children, you're now subject to other people outside of the family circle calling that abuse. And so... again, we're in very, very different times, and so I'm going to stop there because I've got a lot more to say about that, but I just wanted to kind of leave it there, and I want to invite you to speak about it, and any of our, we've got a couple of listeners, a couple of folks in the chat room. So if you'd like to call in and voice your opinion, 646-716-9827, please do. It's a topic of the times, and it's we as a society are going to have to figure out how to navigate through this and to, you know, determine what is, what's so, really look at, what's so, and are we allowing society to grow up our kids, or do we want parents to grow up their kids? And so I guess that's the first question that I'd like to kind of open up to the audience.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a real conversation everywhere. I mean, everywhere. In Chicago, everywhere I've been for the last 3-4 days, it's a conversation, and what, I've been trying to listen to everyone to see, to kind of get a feeling about it. And it's interesting.
It is.
It's real interesting because, on this show we have talked about abuse in many, many different forums. We've talked about male abuse, female abuse to men. You don't get a lot of men who will talk about it because it's too embarrassing. I was told from a male level to even discuss it because of the ramifications. So when I'm looking at these situations, I kind of, for me, we have to define or distinguish what is abuse, what is considered abuse, and what does the law consider abuse. We could just make calls for this entire hour and ask people that question. Do you consider what was done to the 4-year-old abuse? And we would get yes or no based on how the person was raised, or if this person is a school teacher or a physician or whatever, they may have a different understanding of it. I had conversations this weekend, and one of the main conversations was, what he did to his son. It was the fact that he took his son to the doctor thinking, not knowing the law. A physician can't see bruises or cuts or anything on a child and not report it. They have to, by law, report things that they see. So, one of the things was he may not have felt he was abusing his child, but the law, physicians are concerned. They feel that if you leave marks on a child, it's abuse. And that's not anything new. That's something that's been going on for a while. Even if he had gone to school and the teacher had seen the mark, the teacher would have had to call DCFS. And so, there's that conversation. The other conversation should the law have a say-so in how a person chooses to raise their children? And they already do. they already do, or we wouldn't be having this conversation. And it's like, working with the law is what a lot of the conversation was about. Of course, everybody had a story where that same thing happened to them, and even worse. I heard the attorney yesterday. He was on one of the news shows in Chicago, and he was just saying how the father thought he was doing the right thing. He knows he was doing the right thing. He said he was raised that way. And that's the way you handle certain things. You know, that's the way you handle. I spoke to a gentleman last night that who will be on our show, hopefully, very soon, about this. And he's a self-made person here in Chicago. And one of the things he said is that his parents would have these regular conversations about how he was going to be disciplined. And the father would always say to the mother, "Let me handle this. I am teaching him to be a man. Let me handle this my way, and I don't need for you to interfere." And she would agree. But whenever he would get a whooping, if the mother felt like he had gone too far, she would say, "Okay, that's enough. That's enough. That's enough." And the father would say, "You're supposed to let me handle this. I determine when it's enough." So there's that conversation. You know, the agreement between two parents about what is enough. You know, I've had talked to another couple, and this wasn't recently, but this actually was in real time, where the father was giving the son a whooping, and he's a fair-skinned guy, so it left bruises on him. And the mother was okay with the whooping until she saw the bruises. And then that was it for her. She would never, she never agreed to it anymore, because she was actually able to see the results of it, you know, physical results of it. So, you know, there's a lot of conversation about this. I am interested, Glenn, in knowing, why is the conversation more about the NFL than it is about the
city? Well, don't get me started. But I just had a conversation with a guy, and he says, "Well, you know what? Take a look around and who is all this being directed at?" And it's black men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at the NBA, you look at the NFL, you look at the quarterback for Pittsburgh that raped a young woman a couple years ago. Wasn't a whole lot of conversation about that. It wasn't in the media kind of, you know, didn't blow it up to the extent that they're blowing these things up. But, you know, it's just part of it is the mentality of the media. And I'm going to go back to something that Michael Moore said in his Bowling for Columbine movie. I don't know if you've ever seen that. Have you ever seen that movie?
No.
In it, he talks about how the press has made black men scary. And when you think about it and you look at the way they depict crime, and in most cases, and not all, because I have, as of late, began to see that when it's a white, somebody white, Occasionally they say white, but normally they just say a man. But if it's a black man, they definitely say a black man or a Latino. And so so how they portray violence is very racially oriented. And so when you look at what's being done and how it's being said and how the media is now fanning the flame, you know, you have to wonder. I mean, that's also part of this of the consideration. You know what the effect of media now, the effect of being under the microscope because you're making millions of dollars, and so whatever you're doing is now magnified, and the fact that you are, you know, a black man in a white-dominated society or white-controlled society, let's say that, you know, it's very easy to be vilified. So I think that that's also part of the factor that's involved. Are we reacting or are we responding? And I think that that's really, if I would look at the focus, I would say that we're reacting to something, reacting to what the media has portrayed, the vilification of that. Well, not so much of the NFL, because for me, the NFL, you know, I said this early in the show, but I felt like the NFL players have always been protected. They've had a cloak of protection, probably starting around high school in terms of being differentiated from the other student bodies, but certainly in college, when you listen or around football programs and you hear about stuff being swept under the rug, or, well, he's a big-time player for such-and-such college, they always seem to get preferential treatment when it comes to situations and where they are violent or have committed crimes or even use drugs. So, you know, there's kind of a cloak in the local area that says, okay, well, this is a big-time player. Let's reduce it. Let's minimize it. Let's, you know, not blow it up to the extent. And so that, for me, that mentality has continued, and now it's becoming more prevalent in the professional ranks, because back, you know, you look back 15, 20 years, most of the players were scholars. There was a level of respect. I think one of the things that they talked about on ESPN today on Countdown, they talked about the NFL needs to be a leader in the conversation and not being reacting to, but you know, putting people out of the league or having them not play until their disposition of their court hearings are
until what? Until when?
Until the disposition of their court hearing is decided. So are they guilty or are they not guilty? And, of course, if they're guilty, then, you know, take actions appropriate. And if they're not guilty, then to resume their regular play and so on and so forth. So, I mean, it you know, that's one level of the conversation. But I actually want to get back to that whole, the question that you really asked about, is, well, what do you consider to be abuse? You know, because that really, and especially when you're talking about a child, you know, one of the things that they also said at Countdown is that if you don't have consequences for bad behavior, then people are going to continue to do that bad behavior because there are no consequences associated with it. So, you know, I'm just, you know, are we spinning out of control? with this? Are we now have to be more tactful in our discipline actions? You know, and is that going to be enough?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and this is our Sunday evening program, and tonight we're talking, we're asking the question, what is abuse? We're also having a conversation about the NFL getting hit and just all of the current events that have come up about abuse. Male-female abuse, child abuse, raising your children. Does the law have a right to determine how you raise your child? And what, if anything, is being done about it? Are we reacting or responding? So give us a call if you're listening, 646-716-9827, or send us a chat if you have any questions or you would like to join the conversation. Back to you, Glenn.
Yes, yeah, great. Thank you. And I think the you know, where do we draw the line? You know, when is society... when is the society in control and when are we in control? You know, one of the things that I wrote on Facebook, somebody sobering said, you know, I can't believe that Adrian Peterson is been inactivated because of this child abuse. And, you know, you say to yourself, Adrian Peterson has been you talk about above board in terms of a citizen, a role model, very much so looked towards by people in the league and certainly on, by his teammates as a solid citizen. And, you know, to so quickly be vilified, it's, you know, it's kind of a shame. It's kind of a shame when you think of it. And, you know, I don't know what his son was doing that warranted him getting a whooping, but as a parent, that's the age when you really need to take control. You know, 4, 5, you know, the those younger ages, and you need to let your children know that you mean business, and when you don't do what you're supposed to do, there will be consequences. And, you know,
okay,
again,
let me be the child advocate here. is there another way to let a child know that are there other consequences? Or is there another, you know, way of getting your point across other than physical contact? Is the question that work?
Yeah, yeah.
That work.
I believe so. I believe taking away privileges. You know, one of the things that was very, in addition to getting a whoopings, was I couldn't go out and play. I couldn't hang out with my friends. The things that I was not allowed to do because that was the consequence of my activity. And most of the time, I would get a whipping and I couldn't go out and play. So it wasn't so part of the... Now, could I have been disciplined enough by not going outside to play? Possibly. But again, it's about... I think, a level of fear. And fear of not of my parents, but fear of the consequence. Because you're getting a whooping because of
this. Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point. Like I came from a family that did not believe in whooping, all right? But there were times where I thought I would rather have one than be on punishment where I couldn't go out, because the whooping only lasted for a few seconds, you know, a minute. The punishment, you know, the staying in the house, not being able to do this, not being able to do that, was worse for me, which is probably why my parents used it. But I just, you know, God, my friends would just get a whooping, and they would, you know, it would be over. But, you know, they didn't like getting whoopings, but they did get them. But it was done. They got the whooping, and they could go back to doing whatever. If I was on punishment, that took me out of the game for a long time, you know. So I just, you know, like really, really wonder about that. Is that providing human services, establishing, nurturing relationships? What does that say? Altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. You know, I was like looking inside of the declaration to see where we are with that. And I think that's a conversation that, you know, we can continue to have. I just want to take the time now to say that annual summit event in 2015 is in Atlanta, Georgia. And we invite everyone to join us. It is our 25th annual event. And subjects like these and inquiries, all kind of inquiries, what we look into in the conversation of the annual International Black Summit Act, the annual summit event, that's in Atlanta, Georgia, next year, 2015, July 30th. So put it on your calendar now. Start to thinking about it. Belize was off the hook. I mean, it was, there's just so much that came out of that conference on so many levels. And we invite you to join us in this conversation. The question or the inquiry, or we've distinguished that this year that there's instruction, there's an inquiry, and then there's a question. This year, as you know, we have every year, and this year it is in the space of silence, discover some aspect of my authentic self. Will I grant being to what I am built for? And that's a whoa kind of question. You know, will I grant being to what I am built for is the question. The inquiry is discovering the part, some part of your authentic self. And the instruction that's given at the beginning is in the space of silence. So this isn't something that you discover just, you know, you have to go to the silence. You have to quiet your mind. You have to accept and be willing and look forward to discovering a part of your authentic self. An aspect of your authentic self. And that's exciting to me, Glenn. I mean, to just be able to know that at any time that I still my mind, I quiet myself, I go into the silence, that I can discover a part of my authentic self. And then after I discover that part of my authentic self, I have choice and whether I will grant being to it or not. So this is going to be a very interesting year of inquiry. Just inquiry and discovery, choosing Yes, I'll grant being to this, or I'm not quite ready yet. So along with our current events, we will be inside of this for the next 12 months and leading to the annual summit event in Atlanta, Georgia, our 25th event in Atlanta, Georgia, the first weekend in August always, but we always get there a few days early, but it's always the first weekend in August. So, Glenn, back to you.
Thank you. We've got a listener, and if you'd like to get your mic open up, press 1, and we'll recognize you and bring you in. So if that's something that you see to do, please do. Chat room, we've got some open up lines, so 646-716-9827. Please join us. Let us know what you think. And the conversation is about, you know, what is abuse? What are we calling abuse? You know, what should we be able to do? Shouldn't we be able to do? And inside of the parenting that's necessary in this day and age, you know, you said that one of the things I thought was interesting was, you know, that the punishment afterwards. And, you know, going to your room or going to going to bed without dinner was, you know, was a punishment in itself. And it was a pretty scary one for me coming up. But in this day and age, you know, kids have computers, television, cell phones. So going to your room is not really punishment.
Right. It's like fun. That's fun.
Exactly. I don't have to deal with them, so I can just go ahead and do my thing. So, you know, so it's not the same options, and you're not going to send a kid to his room in this day and age and unplug his TV, unplug his computer, and take away the cell phone. At least a lot of parents are not going to do that. Now, I know some parents that actually will do that, that will disable or disconnect stuff so that it's not accessible. But the average parent doesn't do that. And so, you know, when you look at the access of technology and the access of, you know, what is real truly the punishment, you know, I know, for example, restrict the use of video and, of course, video games and take away cell phones. And I think that's one of the ways that you can address. You know, because at a certain point in time, I know that a beating didn't make a difference. It was right. Like, okay, it'll be done. You know, after 10 or so, you get it. You know, you kind of fluff it off, and you're done, and you're on to the next thing. And you, as soon as your butt calms down, you're on to the next thing. You don't forget about it. But I think that it's very important in child rearing that the early ages and the early stages of child rearing, that the children realize who's in control.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that I think that's something that seems to be missing with me when you see these 2, 3, 4-year-olds have a tantrum still. I remember my grandmother on my mother's side, she'd come up to me, and if I was misbehaving in public, she'd squeeze my ear. Okay?
Yeah. I remember. Yeah.
You know, and she said, and you better not make another noise.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, got it. Okay, I don't get to do that.
Right. Even though I'm watching many people raise children and grandchildren and things like that, And one of the things that I've seen work is where the child is taken to a room by themselves. And that's not, and there's no toys in there. You just have to stay in that room. But you don't get to be with everybody else because you're not acting a particular way. Nothing's harmful in there. Nothing will hurt them. But do you want to go, and it's just ask the question, do you want to go in the room by yourself? No. Then stop doing whatever it is. I've seen, I'm trying to think of the other new things because, the parents now, they are very aware of abuse and they're trying these alternative methods, like, what is it that you need is the question that's asked now. If a child starts to cry or whatever, the technique that I've seen, what is it that you need? And so the child will try to explain what it is. What do you need? What do you need? And you just keep asking that same question until the child responds. But it's really interesting. It's really interesting. Back to the part that you were talking about a few minutes ago, I've heard men talk about getting to that point where they said, I'm not going to take another whooping. I'm not going to take another one. I know men who have moved out of their houses as teenagers because they weren't going to do that. And they were given that alternative. I know men who have moved out of the state and never come back for that reason. I'm not going to take another whooping. No. So it's interesting. This whole conversation, when you grow out of it, when you grow away from it, when you become, when you become a man, interesting. The minister today was talking about walking by his son's room, and the son, I'm thinking, is probably 15 or 16, walking by his room and hearing this rapper. And I think it's I forgot where the rapper is from, another country or something. And he could, he could hear him and everything. So he knocks on the door, and he and his friends are in the room listening to it. And he asks him what he's to, and he tells him this is this rapper from, I don't know if he's from London or somewhere, but supposed to be real popular right now and whatever. And so, the father says, well, that's all well and good that he's popular and he's this or this, but that's not what, he's not talking about the kind of things that I want said in my house. So you're going to have to turn it off. And so you find, you can listen to somebody who's speaking kind of things that I want in my house because I want to set, he was talking about how you set the pace for what you want to occur in your house as a parent, And so he, he says, and he tells him he's going to have to turn it off. And he turned it off, because he didn't want to deal with whatever the consequences were. But that's what, just kind of having that, listening to that today. So I think it's something that we have to really pay attention to and what we choose to do as parents. And, and understand what the laws say and how you work within the laws. You remember a while back, there was a woman in the parking lot of, I think, like a Walmart or Target or one of those stores. And I'm not sure, but it was in the parking lot of a store. And she was whooping her child. And then they caught it on camera and turned the woman in. You know, it was on the camera and somebody turned her in a while back. So it's just interesting. The whole thing is very, very interesting. And we'll continue. We'll just continue to talk about it, you know, really continue to distinguish what is abuse? What is considered? What do you consider abuse? You know, I my conversation is those, like the little boy, or the woman with the black eye, or the man with the black eye, or whatever. Those heal. Those physical wounds, they heal. My concern is always, what about emotional abuse? You know, the kind of abuse that does, it takes years to heal. You know.
Yeah, and I'm going to include verbal with that. So, yeah, emotional
verbal
abuse, sure.
Right. You know, those words that that just go through you. You know, they just go through your being. And, you know, what about that? So it's, like I said, it's real, real interesting how we be about, you know, about one thing. What about the other thing? I've noticed in a lot of hospitals and clinics,
mm-hmm.
there are signs up now that ask, are you in a domestic violent situation? More than ever now, I'm noticing it in places that I go. And they ask the question, like automatically, like you know how they ask the history, your medical history. Now they ask about that. You know, is your partner saying things to you that make you feel depressed or unwanted or whatever? You know, there's all of these different questions and things. So people are more and more aware of it, and social workers and psychologists and you know, they have a lot of new studies that they're doing and new ways.
Well,
that I've come across is amazing.
Well, you know, you're right, and the sad part is that one is not worse than the other. I mean, the physical is bad enough. But
mm-hmm.
sometimes the verbal can last for years. I've had at least two or three situations that I've run into women who have been verbally abused, and their self-esteem has taken them years to get over that stuff.
I mean,
literally, you know, and I'm not talking about 1 or 2 years, but I mean even longer they've been
lifetimes.
They've been abused so badly by a husband or a boyfriend. They didn't think themselves pretty. I mean, you know that whole thing and their whole self-worth. And so you gotta wonder, how do you combat that? You know, one thing to get beat up, which is
mm-hmm.
which I'm not condoning either, because I mean that's horrible.
Right.
But like you said earlier, there are men that are out there are getting abused as well, and of course, they're much less willing to come forward. But that's occurring, and we actually talked about that in one of our shows a couple years back, where somebody spoke about that. So we know it's happening. We know that these things exist, and how do we police it? How do we determine what's over the line and what's not? I think it's interesting that Ray Rice hit his fiance at the time. They still got married and now are on the other side of that conversation. But, you know, sometimes people just happen to be physical. You know, I've heard of relationships, actually, where the man and woman are just abusive to each other. But that's
right.
kind of how they talk to each other.
Right.
And they've been doing that for years. So how as a society, do you come in there and say, there's something wrong with this? Or
mm-hmm.
or is that really up to the individuals? You know,
mm-hmm.
or in this case, the parent is
mm-hmm.
in determining what's necessary for this child in order to keep this child on track or inside of the behavioral techniques that they need to do to keep control.
Right. It's like never ending because it's so subtle sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So subtle. So what do we do about it? You know, like what can we do? I think should be our next conversation next week. You know, what is it that we can do to prevent it? We know it's here. We know it happens. We know there's laws. We know this and we know that. But what do we do to prevent, you know, do some preventive things? I think we should, you know, like take a look at next week, different ways, you know, different ways to prevent it. Because just as you gave, I'll use what you did as the example, and what your grandmother did and what my father did as far as the punishment and yours with the ear. You learned, as you said, you couldn't do that anymore. You know, you couldn't do that anymore. I learned that I really didn't want to do it anymore because it took away my freedom. You know,
mm-hmm.
the punishment, you know, being kept in the house and couldn't go out and play and all of that. So we learned that, you know. Was there any negative anything that came from your situation? You know, was there any negative that came from mine? You know, does it have an effect like getting beat, getting physically beat, or being cursed out, or being talked about, you know, being, you know, like that. So the two things that we mentioned, I would just say there was nothing negative about it, and I certainly learned that whatever it was, I wasn't going to do it again because I did not like my freedom being taken from me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You had a consequence for it, and the consequence was great enough for you not to do it again. You know, and let me tell the truth about it. There were things that I took chances on. Like I knew the consequence, and I took a risk. But I
right.
took a risk knowing that there was a consequence, not like expecting not to be to deal with the consequence if I was discovered. You know, so I mean, it's what are we setting ourselves up for is the question. You know, what are we asking us and society to do around discipline? You know, when I look, you know, if I did something out in the street, I had to worry about my neighbor seeing me. Because if my neighbor saw me, they would say something. They wouldn't necessarily beat me or hit me, but they certainly would scold me out in public. They certainly would call my parents, and then I'd have a whooping waiting for me and a punishment associated
right.
with that.
Right.
So you know, in this day and age, people are scared to say anything to children that are not their own because in this day and age, parents want to fight you.
Right.
So, I mean, so we're asking a hands off when you look at the law. The laws are, I remember my daughter saying something to her mother. Well, I'll call up the child abuse, and her mother's response was, "You'll never make it to the damn phone." So, you know, so we have those kind of things inside of the conversation. And, you know, I think my daughter grew up very respectful and, you know, but, you know, who's to say? Is that should be instilled? Is that, you know, I mean, you know, you look at the back and forthness of it and you say, you know, what's right? What's right today? And are we raising a bunch of children who are lawless and don't have any fear of the consequences and aren't worrying about what they should be doing and shouldn't be doing? They don't care anymore or whatever. So you know, it's you know, we're setting a precedence for changing society, and I'm not sure if it's good or bad. I'm just curious to see what, you know, the outcomes haven't been great. Let's say that. And, you know, people are more violent and more not valuing human life. And I think part of that is the discipline coming up. So we've just got a couple of minutes left. I'm going to give it back to you, Henrietta. Anything that All you right. want to kind of close out?
All right. Thanks, Glenn. And so we continue this conversation, of course, and, you know, those of you who listen to this broadcast via the archive, and it's available as soon as we finish, it's available, and you have questions or whatever, just call back next Sunday, 646-716-9827, and get questions. We'll continue to talk about this and preventive methods on every level, you know, and we'll stay tuned to how different things unfold in our current events. And once again, remind you to go to our website, blacksummit.org, and register for the annual summit event 2015. God bless you. Thank you for listening. And we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. So with that, we're going to close the show out. And don't forget to check out our website at www.blacksummit.org. Peace and blessings. Take care for now. And we love hearing from you, so certainly call in next week. Peace and love.
Good night.
Good night.